Komið þið heil og sæl og verið velkomin í þriða þátt hlaðvarpsins landsmenn. Þetta þriði þáttur landsmanna sem settur upp af meðlumum norrænu mótstöðurhreyfingarinnar á Íslandi. Óskuðum hlustendum gleðilegs nýs árs og farsældar á nýja ári þar sem síðasta ár reyndi á margan manninn. Ég heiti Ríkarður og leiðandi Íslandsdeildar norrænu mótstöðurhreyfingarinnar. Í þessum þætti fáum við til okkar háttsetta meðlum dönsku deildar norrænu mótstöðurhreyfingarinnar Jakob Wollum Andersen og mun viðtalið fara fram á ensku. Velkomin, velkomin Jakob.
Thank you very much and thanks for having me on your podcast.
We had our leader Simon Lindberg on our first previous show and on the second we had Tommy Olsen from Norway. Now we will have you here with us on our third episode. Where are you born and raised in Denmark?
I was born and raised in a medium-sized city called Randers in the central part of the country. There I grew up in the suburbs in a nice and quiet neighborhood. My parents and I had a house with a garden in an area with lots of green lawns, trees and playgrounds where white children could play and roam freely. I grew up there like most others, I guess. I went to school. And I was part of the local sports clubs, playing soccer and volleyball. I was training martial arts for a while. I was training competition rifle shooting, and I even played a few instruments. Then when I grew older, I moved away from the city to study. I was studying environmental management, but now I have actually returned to Randers. Living nearby, at least.
When did you wake up, or how did you become National Socialist?
Oh, that's a difficult question. When I got organized is easy to answer. It was back in 2015, when hordes of migrants were marching north, and at some point actually were walking on the Danish motorways. At that point, I chose to act and became later a part of an organization to stop this mass invasion. But the how part of your question is trickier. I think I must always have been a National Socialist, but without knowing it. For lots and lots of years before 2015, I could see that something was wrong with the world. At that time, I was a bit of a tinfoil hat, I guess, quite much interested in the secret societies allegedly ruling the world. And for a while, I was focused on Illuminati, the Freemasons, the bankers, and lots of other stuff that is hard to fully understand and connect because it is so shrouded in secrecy. So, at some point in 2015, before the migrant march to the north, I decided to take a look at the evil Nazis, as I thought that they surely had to be in with all the evil stuff that's going on in the world. I was brought up like everyone else, believing that Nazis were the bad guys. But then what I found changed all that, since I learned that the National Socialists of the Hitler era we're actually fighting the monsters that is ruling the world today. So I began educating myself on not only what they were fighting against, but also what they were fighting for. And that is, in essence, the liberation of our people from all things decaying them and leading them towards extinction. So how I became a National Socialist is a very long story that started a very, very long time ago. But in 2015, I solved the puzzle and made the conscious choice, at least, of calling myself National Socialist.
Were you in any other movement before?
No, I have never been part of any movement before.
How old were you when you joined the Nordic Resistance Movement?
I was 37. When I joined the movement.
But why did you choose the Nordic Resistance Movement?
I don't remember how I found the movement, but I first became aware of it when I saw a video from a demonstration in Göteborg. I liked the uniform appearance of the demonstrators. I liked their shields and their flags, but I knew nothing about them. So I went to their website to read up on them, and I read their 9 points, the political manifest. And I liked that a lot. And I found that they seemed very organized and very serious, which was very appealing to me, since the national scene in Denmark to me seemed rather unserious, similar to social clubs rather than true resistance movements. To me, the high standards demanded of the members were also appealing. So many national movements are allowing narcotics, and more often than not, alcohol is the glue holding the group together. So the strict rules of membership of the Nordic resistance movement, to me, were signaling order. The members of the Nordic resistance movement is, of course, not living like priests, never drinking alcohol or eating a burger, but they have the discipline to never drink alcohol or smoke or eat junk food on an activity. And this discipline is what is needed for a movement that wants to push for a revolution. And also the vision of bringing together all the Nordic countries as one national socialist state was something I really liked. In a globalist controlled world, one country cannot stand alone. So its victory is to last. This is essential.
When and how did you become high ranked in Denmark? And what is your position?
Actually, I started out as a support member, and my story is actually the good example on how one is able to climb the ranks if only one is willing to work. At that time, I was living in the western part of Denmark and being the only one doing activism in my area. And so I was putting up stickers several times a week. And I made and put up banners on my own for a very long time. This commitment then resulted in me being offered an active membership. My writing skills got noticed, so I became a writer and an admin on the website Nordfront. And I also got responsibility of making propaganda, such as posters. Then later, I was appointed activist of the movement. And since my activity in my area never decreased, and I turned out to be able to lead people and activities, I was made NEST chief back in 2018.
What is the situation in Denmark now in general?
Well, like in all other Nordic countries, Denmark is weighed down by corona restrictions. We have a Social Democrat Prime Minister who recently executed an entire business when she ordered all mink put down in the name of the virus. Other than that, the population in Denmark is aging. Ethnic Danes are not birthing enough children to uphold the population. And at the same time, we have a political system and big business that is screaming for more immigrants, who opposite the Danish population are birthing a whole lot of children. So we are facing a future as minorities in our own country if we are not able to change the course of development fast.
So is the liberal Marxism and multiculturalism hitting the shores of Denmark?
Yes, and it has been flowing in for decades. Most people, it seems, are living only for themselves, indulging in one or another addiction, be it narcotics, alcohol, consumerism, promiscuous sexual activities, or even just watching TV or playing games to the extent of abusism, all the while believing the political correct lie that everyone is the same, meaning that we might as well just hand over our country to another folk and forget about our forefathers and our future. And while this morale is dominating, racial strangers are flooding the lands, bringing with them foreign cultures, violence, rape, and most dangerous of all, great, great numbers that will in time replace the original people of Denmark. So like in all other Nordic countries, we have a bug in our system and invaders are settling in our lands.
Are crimes against ethnic Danes raising up because of multiculturalism?
Yes. Yes, it is. When you import people of another race who are hardwired in a totally different way than ethnic Danes, making them resort to violence much quicker than Nordic whites, it doesn't take long for the strangers to take advantage of such a difference. And so you get street robbery, mugging, and rape, just to mention a few. In Denmark, we just had, not so long ago, a series of incidents where Arabs would humiliate and beat up young white boys while filming it and sharing the humiliation on social media. We are also seeing the rape statistic skyrocketing. And in 2018, I believe, there was a study made that showed that 10 out of 12 so-called assault rapes in Denmark was committed by racial strangers. So yes, we are facing our fair share of the fruit of multiculturalism.
When and why did the Nordic resistance movement establish a branch in Denmark?
The Danish branch was established in late 2017. The reason for this is because some of the stuff I just mentioned, and also because a few brave Danes believed that they had to take action. They decided to start the Danish branch of the Nordic Resistance Movement because they believe that the Nordic Resistance Movement is the only movement with the potential to fundamentally change society.
How are people responding to the Nordic Resistance Movement in Denmark in general?
Well, as mentioned before, most people, it seems, are living merely for their own sake, for their addictions, their money, and if they are lucky, also their small family. Most people have had their feeling of unity towards their fellow whites erased by decades of cultural Marxist brainwashing. So most people just want to be let alone in their own little private bubble, ignoring the pending doom and believing that it might get better if they just vote harder to the next election. They're not realizing that the political system is made this way for a reason and that nothing will ever change as long as this system exists. Denmark has a history of being occupied by a protecting German army during World War II. But today, most ordinary people have bought into the Hollywood lie that National Socialism somehow is a genocidal ideology. So they have forgotten the part of Germany actually protecting our lands. At the same time, the stories of patriotic, however misguided, Danish groups fighting the Germans during this time has been told over and over and has made a sort of picture of heroism. So when we meet people on the streets, many of them think that we are on the wrong side of history, which I do understand, given their understanding of history. But this is then our job to inform what National Socialism in reality is and what it is not.
How well is the Danish branch going in Denmark?
I will not lie. Given the history of Denmark, which I just told about, and the ruling cultural Marxist morale amongst most Danes, it isn't easy recruiting. But then again, we have no desire to become a mass movement just yet, but to recruit the right people now that will lead the struggle on later. I will not reveal anything about numbers of members, but I can say that we are on a regular basis receiving membership applications and we are recruiting. We are doing activism. We have the website running. We meet up in the different nests for meetings and training. We have a Danish National Socialist podcast, and the Nordic Resistance Movement has become synonymous with National Socialism in Danish media. So if the criteria for success so far is a working and stable operation, then we are successful.
What kind of activity have been held by the Nordic Resistance Movement in Denmark?
We do both activism and social activities. Activism ranges from putting up stickers, posters and banners to the more spectacular things such as the bloody Jewish altar popping up in a public place back in September 2020. This was done to create awareness of the ongoing sacrifice of the white people on the altar of multiculturalism. Another spectacular activity I'm very fond of was the beach activism, where a group of activists one summer were patrolling the sandy white beaches and holiday towns in a military vehicle, decorated with flags and fitted with loudspeakers to broadcast the National Socialist agenda. Or even the recent winter help activity just a few weeks ago, where members had been collecting warm cloth to hand out to homeless Danes in the city of Aarhus. And this too can be defined as a spectacular activity. Activists had put up a tent in the heart of the city, where then homeless Danes could come and get a warm meal and leave with some nice warm cloth, winter boots, sleeping bags, and so on. Of course, also public leafletting is part of the activism in Denmark, but since corona restrictions are keeping many squares empty these days, we have not done much of this lately. Our social activities are internal activities, either to build up comradeship, train ourselves in ideology, or train certain skills. We have had training in martial arts, basic wilderness training, climbing and rappelling, and the crown jewel of 2020 was the orienteering exercise, which was held in one of the largest forests in Denmark, and where participants over a few days would get acquainted with the effects of sleep deprivation, hunger and dehydration, as they would make their way with only a compass and a map through the forest while being chased by two instructors. Other social activities include our activist days and, of course, the recently held New Year's reception.
Has there been any demonstrations in Denmark?
We do not believe in arranging demonstrations if we are not able to dominate the streets entirely. The movement is too new in Denmark to be able to do this just yet. We had one small blitz demonstration, though, back in 2019 in the heart of Copenhagen, where we got support from comrades from Norway and Sweden, which wasn't a problem at all, since we are one organization, even though borders may be here and there. It was a small blitz demonstration, but it went very well, and I believe something like that may very well happen again.
How is the media in Denmark responding to the movement, and have they made any interviews with any members?
I myself had the doubtful honor, actually, of being interviewed by a radio show back in 2018 when I had just joined the movement and moved up the ranks a bit. This interview was with a very inexperienced member in a very new organization in this country, But the experience taught us a lesson early on of how the media wants to portray us, how they are regurgitating fake news, and how they are incapable, or at least unwilling, to publish a truth-worthy piece of the movement such as ours. The media in Denmark has not since yet proved the term Lügenpresse wrong, and we are therefore reluctant to participate in any of their circus acts. The recent article actually from the sister media was today, when they reported on two of our flags being placed on a large tower in the central part of the country. And although being just a couple of flags stripped to a building, the media is calling it vandalism and is even regurgitating definitions of the Jewish ADL. The media is all about portraying National Socialism as something evil and never about portraying us as a true folkish movement. We usually let them write whatever they want without commenting, as bad press is better than no press. And if we feel like we should comment on anything, we usually make our statement on our own website.
What is the future of the Nordic resistance movement in Denmark?
The future is hard work and victory. Victory is the only acceptable outcome of this struggle, and to gain victory, we must remain the most organized and disciplined resistance movement, and we must keep spreading information, waking up the slumbering people, recruiting committed members that can grow into chiefs and activists who can push forward the struggle, and in time, with a broad folkish support, lead the revolution and rid our lands from foreign customs, Zionist influence, and the biological hazard of mass invasion. There may be several ways to victory, but there is only one movement that can achieve it. And you and I, comrade, are both in it.
For centuries, Iceland was under Danish rule until 17th of June 1944, and Icelanders saw Copenhagen as their capital, and many even either moved over there or went to school. Do Danes have any kinship with Icelanders today?
Of course. We feel connected to Icelanders. Even though Iceland is located far away from Denmark and you speak Icelandic and we speak Danish, we look the same, we think alike, and we share common history, and we share the same blood. So in any sense, we are related.
Have you been to Iceland yourself?
Unfortunately not. I had the chance back in 2019, where the Icelandic branch were hosting a group of members from the movement going to Iceland. But at the time, I didn't have the finances to join.
Is there anything that interests you in Iceland?
I am very fond of nature and nature activities. So an outdoor person as me would love to experience the mountains, waterfalls, and the hot springs of Iceland for sure. This is all things that we don't have here in flat little Denmark.
How does Danish comrades look at our progress in Iceland so far?
Iceland and Denmark was the last countries to establish branches of the movement. So, as me being the other new kid in class, I know how difficult it is to start up from scratch. A new movement anywhere must recruit the right members and often shape them into strong political activists before any activism really takes off. And this takes time. The Icelandic branch, however, is already doing activism. You have your podcast, Landsmen, a working and good-looking website, and you have already hosted a gathering for members and activists from all the Nordic countries. So I must say that you are well on the way and doing quite good.
The Iceland Viking event, as you mentioned earlier, in September 2019, where we hosted all the comrades from the other Scandinavian countries, had quite of a media attention in the local news. How did the Danes feel about that event?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was not there for the event, but I think most men would like to wield a real sword and learn some sword techniques. I definitely would. I heard from some of our Danish participants that it's far from easy to control a sword, but that you, Ricardo, were actually quite good at it. Is that right?
Well, I could manage, that's for sure.
I think it's natural and in our blood for men to have an affection for swords and competition. So the next time you arrange an event like this, be sure to count me in.
For sure. Do you have any message to Icelanders?
Yes. I would like to say to those Icelanders listening who have not yet joined our ranks, but are aware that something is wrong with the world, that nothing will ever change unless you resist. The time is now, the clock is ticking, the Nordic resistance movement is here, and I urge all freedom fighters to join the struggle, take responsibility, and fight whatever stands between your and your freedom, as if life and everything else depend on it. For this is actually the case. So if you haven't already sent in an application to Ricardo, do it now.
Anything last thing you want to add?
I just want to say to all members in Iceland and to you, my comrade, keep up the good work and hail victory.
Hail victory. Thank you for the interview, Jakob, and I wish you all the best in the future. Við þökkum kærlega fyrir okkur og þeim er hlýttu og Jakob Andersen fyrir að vera með okkur. Takk fyrir. Heil sigri.
Heil victory.